Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Poole, and my guest today is Alex Stokes. And Alex is a journalist with News World, and he's going to comment on what's going on in Albany. So, Alex, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Cynthia?
Terrific. Thank you. I'm doing well. So, let's start talking about one of the big topics of the day, which is the $12.5 million. What do you think?
I think it's peanuts. The amount of money that moves through the state and the capital of the Empire State needs $12.5 million. There's a problem with that alone. And I understand that people say it's a lot of things that got us here, you know, that need to be improved and, you know, looking towards the future. But I think we need to look to now and what we can do immediately because, you know, I don't like to create problems, but there is a problem with resource and economy, and it needs to be seriously addressed. So that's what I think about that.
So, there's a recurring budget deficit in the city of Albany, and as you and I and everybody that's listening knows that Mayor Sheehan went hat in hand to Governor Cuomo and more or less asked for a bailout.
Right.
If you were mayor, how would you handle it?
I would ask for $100 million. I would demand it.
Cuomo kind of laughed in your face.
That's okay. We're, you know, not the best of friends anyway.
Uh-huh. So when he says no, then what would you do?
I would like to start a society kind of based on agriculture where we produce our own means that would employ our people, sustain us through food, and build community. That's what I see a future revolving around.
Now, as of right now,
that could sustain us and we could export it as a product.
Okay, right now that's not done. How would you implement that?
It is done, but it's not like anything unifies a city. It's all corporate, and it's all shareholder, and it's, you know, not everybody can need the microscopic robot from nanotech. You know, it's they're isolated markets. I think a unifying market that's owned by the public, that everybody can take part in, everybody can work at, would be the way to go. What that product is, I'm sure there are thousands of them. But it starts with an idea, you know, and you need to get more people with more ideas. And so I present my ideas to, you know, kind of, maybe I don't have the right idea, but if I can get a conversation going, that's also good, I think.
What's your analysis of creativity in Albany?
You know, it's a tough city. You know, people go through a lot of stuff. There's a lot of emotions, like any other place. But there's a lot to draw from. There's a lot of culture. There's a lot of history. All this makes up a person, you know, and I think that it can stunt the creativity. You know, trauma can do that. And people, there's a lot of suffering in the city. So people draw from that. Also, there's a lot of great things in this city. There's a lot of good history. There's a lot of invention. You know, there's a lot of pioneering, so to speak. So, you know, you take the good with the bad, initially, you know, you have to be a creative person, I think. You know, a lot of people aren't interested in being creative, and I don't judge them for that. I myself am I consider myself an artist. I paint, I do sculpture, I do journalism. But, you know, I don't judge someone if they don't do that. Maybe someone just does like to go to a 9-to-5 job and whatever and just live their life. And I respect that as well. So, you know, I have no idea. I like it. I like how creative people can be. I like how many elements we have in our beautiful city here.
Now, there's been a big controversy over the almost $200 million to build onto the high school, to renovate the high school.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
You know, I went there. I went there and it wasn't in the best shape, and that was quite a while ago. So, yeah, I would say do it. We invest in, you know, the future. That's one thing we can do right now to improve the future. And you can do a lot with that kind of money. I think it should be more, like I said, I think that it's ridiculous that every time there's a problem, it always leads back to money. And that has become an excuse for everybody to say, well, yeah, that's a great idea, but we don't have the money. You know, it's like, come on. At some point, we have to do something that helps everybody and sustains everybody. But, you know, I might be an idealist.
You know, idealists make things happen. Don't you agree?
I'm sorry, what?
Idealists make things happen.
Yeah, you know, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're ignored or, you know, silenced, so to speak. But, you know, occasionally something gets through. And I commend anybody for throwing their hat in the ring to try to make a change for what they feel is better. Of course, there's going to be differences of opinion on that as well.
Now, there was also a big controversy over a home on New Scotland Avenue that would help homeless people. The judge ruled that it was a zoning issue and there are other areas in the city that could take take care of this problem. What's your feeling about it?
I hope I'm right about this. I heard that he had deemed that it wasn't a house of worship. Am I correct about that? I thought I read that. And that's why it couldn't be, it couldn't help people. But, you know, we live in a place where you can't help people get a job. It wasn't even a homeless shelter. It was a center for families and people trying to escape abuse. What kind of person would go out of their way to stop that? And then what kind of judge would rule that that is a reasonable act? I don't know. If that's the kind of country we live in, there's an inherent problem right here in our city, in our faces. And, yeah, it's pissing a lot of people off.
Right. If you were in a position, and maybe you are as a journalist, how would you solve it?
I would go on a campaign of how important it is to help those of us that have the least. That would be my goal. That's if I were to have an influence, that's where it would stem from. I would, you know, we're building a convention center for like how many million, you know?
Right.
We're going to have, like, people freezing to death around it. Like, there's a disparity here. It's not imaginary. Someone just froze to death in behind the executive mansion, right? A fully heated mansion that the governor doesn't even sleep in. Somebody froze to death right outside. He was 30. It's reprehensible that this guy had no place to go. It's reprehensible that the governor will never have to worry about that economic standing. It's ridiculous. But, you know.
Now, as a journalist, do you concentrate on the city of Albany, or do you branch out?
I've heard the term hyper-local journalism. I like to keep it within the circle of Albany. I do stem out. I have a YouTube page and a Facebook page, News World, and you can find reports going from Vermont, New York City to Baltimore. I did done stuff outside of the area, but it's mainly focused on Albany. When it gets into particulars about city officials and stuff, it's always Albany and specific situations. Yeah, it's an Albany-based show. It's like a local news, independent news show. And it's on public access, Channel 18, Time Warner.
Okay, so your show is called News World.
News World, Albany Banana Corps. C-O-R-P-S.
Okay. So if somebody would like to see it, how would they do so?
Oh, you can Google News World, Albany Banana Corps. And something will pop up. If you can subscribe to the page and get notifications. Same with the Facebook. And I'm under Alex Stokes, and you can find that there too. But, you know, News World is kind of like the Tyrannosaurus Rex in Jurassic Park. It's not going to see you unless you move, you know? So anything that's like has people at it, active, you know, things that are happening, I try to be there at the big events, whether it be music, whether it be demonstration or political action, or some sort of inauguration, some speech, you know. And then people see that, and then they're aware of who their officials are and what they stand for, because local news likes to put in like a 10-second clip or so. You really don't get full speech ever. So I try to capture that as well. But, yeah, Jurassic Park.
Now, what gave you the incentive to create your alternative media?
You know, I had a friend, Jody, used to do the SUNY radio. And I would do a segment on the radio for news, and I really enjoyed it. And then I heard about the public access studio, and that actually gave me the resource to produce it. The hardest thing was getting it going, you know, getting the ball rolling, figuring out how it was going to look and sound and feel. But, you know, those things take time.
Right, they do. So what's on the horizon for you?
Right now, I am working on a series of oil paintings that I'm taking photos from the Morris Gerber collection, which are old black and white photographs, and then I'm rendering them into small color oil paintings, you know, freehand. And then I'm doing the News World still. I haven't put one up in a while, but it's coming, so be patient, please. And I am also I'm apprenticing to Pierce, and since I'm an apprentice, I can't really disclose where yet, but I'm doing that as well. And I'm also
Go ahead, Alex.
Oh, there's one last thing which I wanted to bring up. There's a garden project that I'm going to be involved with. And I'm going to need people that are interested in that type of thing. I am going to be calling for a meeting soon and contacting people about that. But like I said, agriculture is a big thing. There's this land available. I'm working out the details with the board right now. But you're going to hear about that.
Now, if somebody wants to contact you about that, how would they do so?
I am really easy to find. Alex Stokes on Facebook, News World Albany Banana Corps will get you there. I don't really make myself too much of a secret.
Now,
that would be a good way to do it.
So since you've been doing the public access television, has your thoughts evolved about how the mainstream press handles what's going on?
It is reprehensible how small the media is. And that's kind of contradictory because it's like mega media, but it's controlled by so few people. That's an inherent problem in itself. And especially when, you know, it's hard to hear about like mass killings and then go to a Febreze commercial. It's the juxtaposition of the corporate powers that control that kind of media is disheartening to say the least. Now that I've been doing it myself the way I think it should be done, I like it a little more. I feel like that more people are getting involved with independent media when they see something like that too. So have faith.
Now, how, as a young person, how much longer do you think it will be before people realize that they don't have to rely on the mainstream media anymore? If they have the initiative and they have the gumption, how long will it take before the mainstream media is knocked off the block?
I don't think that'll happen. That would be wildly underestimating their intentions. It's kind of like a war for history, so to speak. It's like you can frame it however you want, but I am going to frame it how I'm going to frame it and put it out in the media in, you know, different forms than it would be on TV. You can find anything on the internet. It's been a revolution within itself.
Right.
And technology, come on. You can walk around with a camera in your hand that's better than cameras that you had to hold on your shoulder 20 years ago. It's the future.
Now.
But don't underestimate major media. I mean, that's why you see how many journalists get killed every year. I mean, there's a lot of information on that. It's kind of scary. So be careful out. Be careful out there, Cynthia.
You know what I find very interesting, and you were not alive in 1963 when John Kennedy was killed. Okay, there was just the Zapruder film. There was nothing as far as documenting it. There had been cameras and cell phones back then. I think history would be totally different, and I don't think whoever it was that killed Kennedy, whether it been Oswald or a conspiracy, I don't think it would have happened because the technology was just too pervasive back then. Would you agree?
Absolutely. You can't get away with anything. If they want to know what you did on any computer at any time, they'll find it. This whole lawsuit with Apple currently, we can't get into your iPhone, really? Like, the U.S. government can't get if you shouldn't believe that. You should believe that everything you do on any computer at any time can be held against you if they have the laws to do that, which are debatable at best. I'm sorry, what was the original question?
The question was, back when Kennedy was killed, there was
They definitely would have had a more conclusive framework of the person, you know, through, you know, how much of a paper trail, so to speak, in the cyber world you leave behind.
Right.
And I just saw this this X-Files recently, right? Had Deep Throat, the guy that was always, like, freaking out Mulder and Scully.
Right.
Giving them information, hiding in the shadows, right?
Right.
There was this episode that was all about him, and the same guy killed Kennedy and Martin Luther King, and it was the guy that was Deep Throat in X-Files. I thought that was an interesting theory.
Okay. So if somebody wants to watch your program, how would they do so?
Google, YouTube, News World, Albany Banana Corps. And that'll bring you there. There's a News World page as well.
Okay.
And on Facebook. And that's the best way to do it. Alex, is how you find me. But, yeah. And another thing, like, I do take a lot of things seriously. I was born and raised here, you know. I see things getting worse. I don't see them getting better, you know. And as, you know, I'm older now, kind of feel like it's my responsibility to kind of inform people, because that's all I can really do in my position right now, you know.
Right, right. So, Alex, thank you. And as the presidential campaign rolls along, I know you're a Green, so at some point I'd like to get you and Dan Platt on together and talk about Jill Stein, how you guys feel about Jill Stein and comparing them to the candidates who are being covered by the mainstream press. You've been listening to Focus on Albany. You've been listening to Alex Stokes. And I am Cynthia Pooler. And if you like this show, if you have a comment about this show, go on Twitter, hashtag Focus on Albany, and share your thoughts. Alex, have a great day, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.
Have a good day.